like to welcome everyone to our service this evening. We continue with our theme after the crucifixion, and this evening my topic is Doubting Thomas. The reading comes from John chapter 20, and we'll read verses 24 through verse 29. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." When you look up this phrase, doubting Thomas, if you look in a dictionary or Google search, basically, it says it's an incredulous or habitually doubtful person, a person who is skeptical and refuses to believe something without proof. Synonyms are disbeliever, doubter, skeptic, questioner, and unbeliever. You know, many are familiar with this term, doubting Thomas, but some folks have no idea where this term came from. The Thomas mentioned in the Bible was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is mentioned in every list of the apostles in the gospel. But it is in the Gospel of John that tells us the most about Thomas. The Apostle Thomas was a true believer. He testified to his faith in the most dramatic and emphatic confession of all time. And we find that in John 20 and verse 28. There it says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." So it's so ironic about this. What's so ironic about this is that Thomas, who expressed such confidence in Jesus, is not known for believing, but rather for his doubting. He's known as Doubting Thomas. You know, sometimes people become identified with one moment in their lifetime as far as their reputation, and is forever connected with that one moment, even though there may have been many more such things about the story. You know, the Lord in teaching would use things that were known at that particular time in his parables that people were familiar with. I found this story about baseball that kind of gives us an idea of what this lesson is really means for us. There was a ball player that began his 22-year career with the Los Angeles Dodgers. His name was Bill Buckner. He collected over 2,700 hits in his career. He had a career batting average of .289, and he won a national batting title. Yet, he will always be remembered for his era that he made in the sixth game of the 1986 World Series while playing for the Boston Red Sox. In the top of the 10th inning, Red Sox are ahead 5-3. When the inning is over, the score is tied. Then in the bottom of the 10th, a fellow by the name of Mookie Wilson steps up to the plate and hits a slow rolling single down the first baseline that went underneath the glove and through the legs of Bill Buckner. It allowed the Mets to score the winning run. The Mets go on to win the seventh game and became champions of the 1986 World Series. From that moment on, The name Bill Buckner has been forever tied to this era that he made in the 1986 World Series. In fact, people in the world of baseball talk about pulling a Bill Buckner. It is synonymous with making a really bad and obvious mistake. So here's a guy that well known, especially back during that time, was a really good ball player, 2,700 hits his career, a batting average of .289 for a lifetime career, and that's a pretty good average for a lifetime. And yet, he is known for making that one mistake in the 1986 World Series. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, as I study for the lesson, I've come to feel the need to defend the Apostle Thomas regarding his doubting. He may have received an unjust reputation. I want you to notice three points. First of all, John tells us that he was not present for this first meeting between Jesus and the other apostles. Jesus did not appear to Thomas personally, so there was no physical evidence of the resurrection for 8 days after the others had seen Jesus. Jesus made Thomas wait, and he did wait. During this time, he didn't leave the other apostles. His demand for physical proof was reasonable considering that the others had already seen Jesus. Next, Thomas was not the only apostle to have doubt. There are references in the scriptures that clearly tell us of the doubts of all the other apostles. In Mark 16, verse 9 through verse 14, it says, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, one of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen." And in Luke 24, verse 10 through verse 11, it says, "It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." Later, the apostles were together in a room with the door locked, and Jesus appeared to them. In Luke 24, verse 36 through 39, it says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.'" So Jesus understood that they all needed to be sure. They all needed to see, and they needed to touch his resurrected body. And later John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." So Jesus was only giving Thomas the same opportunity as he did the others. They were to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. So, after offering the indisputable evidence of his own body, Jesus says, "Stop doubting and believe." Thomas didn't remain a doubter. The Bible doesn't tell us if Thomas actually touched Jesus, but whether he actually touched Jesus or not, his doubts were replaced with an undeniable faith. What can we learn from doubting Thomas? First of all, it's not wrong for disciples to doubt. when searching for certainty. Jesus openly rebuked Thomas for wanting to see the truth. He didn't openly rebuke Thomas for wanting to see the truth. Before the written word, Jesus appeared, the disciples were eyewitnesses to his appearance after the resurrection. Today, we have more than enough testimony to his existence. In this sense, God shows approval or praise to those like Thomas who are searching and asking questions and seeking the truth. Our doubting is not all bad if the person is honestly searching for the truth. I believe Thomas displays the type of honest skepticism when Jesus provided the truth. Thomas believed and expressed his confidence more strongly than he had expressed his doubts. The apostles' doubting showed that these men were not gullible or easily deceived. The doubting was not just wishful thinking, nor did they make it up to please themselves. They had to be convinced that Jesus was alive. Thomas was searching for answers. There's another event where we see this characteristic of Thomas questioning and searching for the truth. On the evening before Jesus' betrayal, Jesus was confronting his apostles with the word found in John 14, verse 1 through verse 6. There it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Thomas needed some answers. He wanted to know, and so he spoke up. He said, "How can we know the way?" He was perplexed. He may even have been a little bit confused. So, have you ever found yourself in that way? What do you think God wants us to do when we have questions concerning the truth? He wants us to keep looking for the answers. Ask questions and ask God to help us find those answers. He wants us to dig deeper. And Jesus tells us in John 5 and verse 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." One of the references pointed out the difference between a doubter and an unbeliever. He said, "A doubter is a person who searches for God and the godly life. He is on a quest for the truth, and he continues to ask questions that only God can give the answer. An unbeliever isn't searching for God, but for pleasures of this world. An unbeliever isn't asking questions about God because he's apathetic to God. A doubter struggles with God, and in the course of his struggle, strengthens his faith. An unbeliever, he simply struggles to pay the bills, find a spouse, find a job, find a house, and that's all. So, but is it wrong for a disciple to keep doubting? We're not to live by doubt, but we are to live by faith, as far as the Bible. Despite the honesty of Thomas' skepticism, Jesus says, "Thomas, stop doubting and believe." There comes a time for certainty and absolute conviction on the matters of faith. This calls for certainty applies not only to the facts of the gospel, such as the death, burial, and the resurrection, but also to the person of the gospel, and that's Jesus himself. We must strive to stop doubting and learn to trust him completely. In Matthew 14, verse 26 through 31, it says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" In the confusion of Job's suffering, he had doubts and questions. He even addressed those questions to God. But in the end, God called on Job to stop his questioning and doubts and to put his trust in him without reservation. In Job 40, verse 1 through verse 5, the Bible says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will not proceed any further.'" And in Job 42, verse 3 through verse 6, it says, "You ask, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." A true disciple walks through his doubts. It's interesting that Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. When you consider an earlier event in his life as a disciple of Jesus, in John chapter 11, after hearing that Lazarus was sick and dying, Jesus waited on the other side of the Jordan River. He delayed for 2 days before going. He was planning to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. And when Jesus told the disciples he was going to Judea, they became fearful. And in John 11 and verse 8, says, "Rabbi," the disciples told him, "just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again?" It had already been determined that Jesus would be killed in Jerusalem. In John 11, verse 14 through verse 16, it says, "So Jesus then told them simply," or plainly, "Lazarus has died. I am glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but go to him." And then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go so that we may die with him." So going to Judea would take a real commitment. Thomas recognized and at this point is ready to make that choice. Later, Peter would claim the same devotion to Jesus. He said, "I will die for you." But their faith would be tested. They would struggle with doubt and they would struggle with fear. Thomas illustrates a true disciple to us. He's not the vain skeptic who can never make up his mind. In the end, he works through his doubts and fears, and he walks by faith all the way to his death. Tradition tells us that Thomas took the gospel to India and that a Brahmin priest, upset at his success in preaching the gospel, ran a spear through him while he was kneeling in prayer. In conclusion, although Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas, he's a man of great faith. His faith led him to follow Jesus wherever Jesus would lead him. He confronted his doubts and he allowed Jesus to convict him of the truth. And when God answered his doubts, he confidently expressed his faith. He said, "My Lord and my God." If there's anyone that's subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.